Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, April 13th. I'm reading from the New International Version and we are picking up in David's life. And the section says David rules a united kingdom. And as I was reading in the Old Testament theology book by Dr. Paul House, he reminded me that this section of scripture gives us four final episodes to complete David's exaltation. I'm going to go ahead and tell them to you so you can be looking for them in the text. First, the rest of Israel accepts him as monarch. So in yesterday's reading, he was anointed, but not everyone was accepting him as king. Today, they will all accept him instead of Saul. Second, David's forces capture Jerusalem, and he makes this the seat of government. So they have a place where he leads out. Third, Hiram of Tyre recognizes David's power by building him a house or a palace. And then fourth, Yahweh, our Lord, directs David's wars against the Philistines, thus guaranteeing victory over his enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 5. The title in my Bible says, David becomes king over Israel. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." They thought, "David cannot get in here." Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. On that day, David had said, "Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind who are David's enemies. That is why they say, 'The blind and lame will not enter the palace.'" David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward. And he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent envoys to David, along with cedar logs and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a palace for David. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. After he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. These are the names of the children born to him there: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepeg, Japhiah, Elishama, Elida, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I'm struck by the fact that David reaches out to the Lord. He prays to the Lord for his guidance on whether he should enter the battle against the Philistines. It's just an encouragement to us today to have a constant dialogue with the Lord, to invite him into the decisions that we are making, to ask him for wisdom, and to look to his word, which teaches us about what is good and right and true. Now, sometimes when we're trying to discern God's will, there's not an answer in the scriptures. It may be something that's not a moral decision or an ethical decision. Sometimes we don't know what the right course of action is. And I'm reminded about premarital counseling that we do with young couples. There are lots of different ways to discern, and here are several of them. There's this picture of a wheel, and it's the wheel of discernment. One of the ways that you discern God's will is through his word, which I just mentioned earlier. We look to see if what we want to do lines up with what God says is good and right and true in scripture. Then we also can discern God's will through prayer. We ask God to help lead and guide us. We also can look to wise counsel around us, looking for people who we know are walking with the Lord, and ask them for wisdom in different areas. And then fourth, but something that we don't want to neglect, is circumstances. Wayne usually jokes that it is not God's will for him to be a pro athlete, because he's in his 40s, he has a family to feed, and it's just not God's will. He has not given him the gene pool and all of these things. So his circumstance does not lend itself to God wanting him to be a pro athlete. I know that's kind of a joke, but our circumstances, if they're in the right if they're in the right order, after prayer, after God's word, and seeking wise counsel, sometimes our circumstances can lend towards helping us to discern God's will. Am I in a situation where a job opens up, or am I in a situation where I have a skill set and it fits with whatever the case may be? Anyway, I hope that those four are helpful, and if you want, I will shoot you a screenshot of that page of the premarital counseling book. As I pray today, I'm going to pray a prayer from the Diary of Private Prayer. This is from the 19th day in the morning. And as I pray the different sections, I want you to think about someone else in your life that you want to pray for them to have these same characteristics of the Lord. Lord, in your gracious love, you have called me to be your servant, and I hold myself in readiness today for even your smallest command. Give me the spirit to keep myself in continual training for the prompt fulfillment of your most holy will. Help me to keep the edges of my mind keen. Help me to keep my thinking straight and true. Help me to keep my passions in control. Help me to keep my will active. Help me to keep my body fit and healthy. Help me to remember whose food it was to do the will of the one who sent him. O Lord of every workplace, bless all who truly desire to serve you by being diligent and faithful in their many callings, bearing their shape of the world's burdens, and going about their daily tasks with simplicity and uprightness of heart. Dear Lord, I pray for all who work in the land and with nature, for all whose work involves sheer physical labor in factories, building sites, mines, and transport, for all who buy and sell in the marketplace, for all who labor with their mind, for all who labor with their pens and computers, for all whose work is the caring ministry of home and family. In your great mercy, save us from the temptations that constantly surround us, and bring us to everlasting life by the power of the cross. Amen.